Blog Talk Radio. We got to do what Jesus said and be grateful when he wakes you up and gives you a new day. Because somebody, I say it every day, didn't wake up this morning. And we are blessed and refreshed to know we have another day to do what Jesus says do. Hallelujah. And that is our word for this morning. Whatever he says to you, do it. You know, Mary and Jesus and some of his disciples are at a wedding in Cana on this New Testament Friday. We will have a show on Sunday. It may actually be a show on tomorrow, and I'm believing there will be a show tomorrow morning. Old Testament Saturday, because Sunday is Mother's Day and I will be traveling. I'm coming home from Kentucky, and so I will be taking my mother out to breakfast because I'm not going to be able to stay the whole day with her because my daughter has made plans for me, and so I am on a time constraint. So there will be a show tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. So please join me tomorrow morning. I'm not sure Mother Valerie will be here. She does not normally do weekends, but we will be in the Old Testament in the 1 Samuel chapter 27 is where we will be starting. Actually, chapter 26. Is where we'll be starting on tomorrow morning. So there will be a show again tomorrow morning, same time, 6 a.m., and we will be in the Old Testament. So today, first New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. Tomorrow, Old Testament, 1 Samuel is where we'll be. So please, please, please join me in the morning for Saturday morning reading. And thank you for joining Mother Valerie and I this morning. And as we get ready to start this blog and start this show and start our time with God, but it's is Bible study time. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. And I ask you to continue praying as we move forward that God will open doors, hallelujah, for others to listen in and for social media to go forward with us. And so all I got to say is good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. On my side of town, it's raining.
That's and what my son said. It was raining.
It's raining right now, but it's beautiful. Everything looks so green and luscious. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And I thank God for waking us up in our right mind. I give him praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Mother Valerie, will you open us up in prayer this morning as we move forward?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for the rain. We want to thank and praise you for all things. We want to give you glory and honor for waking us up in our right mind. God, forgive us for things that we think that are wrong. Give us for sins that we don't know about and things for sins. Forgive us for sins that we know about. God, help us with this day. Help Pastor Bridget as she traveled to her work. She's got to work until 9 o'clock. God, give her the strength that she needs. She does so many things with so many different people, and she helps in so many different ways. God, she's a blessing, so strengthen her and bless her. And, God, we will praise you. We will praise you and honor you for another day. For this is the day that you made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. And let everybody out there drive and drive safely. I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless Carolyn because she's on vacation in Florida right now. God strengthen her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. God, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. And we need to do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Whew. Mother, I turn it over to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning again. I'm reading Psalms 66 and 12. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my Lord giver. And I was just saying in the prayer, we need to rejoice and be glad. Be exceedingly glad. Be joyful that we're here. When you wake up in the morning and find out that you're in your right mind and God has given you another 24 hours, rejoice. Rejoice and rejoice. Be glad. Be thankful. Wake up with a grateful heart. I am grateful. And I hope everybody else is grateful because we see a lot of changes in the world. But God has told us, don't fear. Just be glad. Be happy. I'm reading John 2:20 and 22. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about being raised from the dead in 3 days, it didn't make sense to them initially. Yet John 2:22 tells us, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remember that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Still, they may not have understood the full significance of what had occurred and what it really meant that the temple of his body had been raised. However, the feast of the Lord helped us to understand what happened. During the Passover feast, Jesus became our sacrificial lamb. It's easy for us to see the spiritual significance of what occurred because we know that his death and resurrection marked the beginning of the new covenant. Yet we often think that the next feast the disciples celebrate was Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit empowered the church. Unfortunately, there was a feast we often miss. Through Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, refers to the 50th day of the Hebrew harvest. The harvest actually started on the third day after Passover with the Feast of the First Fruits. Jesus rose from the dead on the feast of the first fruit, which makes sense because Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Paul writes, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. During the first fruit, people brought offerings of barley, the first crop of the year, to the temple. When God accepted it, it meant he was promising to provide them with the rest of the harvest. Proverbs 3:9-10. Likewise, Jesus' resurrection is given as a guarantee that we will live forever. I mean, I'm trying to imagine. You know, some people live to 80, 90, 110. I know one lady is 102 that lives here at Capital Retirement. But the Bible says we're going to live forever. Man, that's something to think about, that we're going to live forever. It's given as a guarantee that we will live forever. Now, understand, when Jesus said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up, he wasn't only talking about his crucifixion, his resurrection. He was saying that the way people worship and the way the church would function would completely change, too. Remember, Jesus said, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. No longer would people go to the temple to make offerings because Christ became our offering. And we ourselves became our offering as well. On the feast of the first fruit, Jesus raised a new temple in us. He became God's. We became God's temple. Paul writes, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. We are the new temple. When they tore Christ down, God raised us up. We are an acceptable offering to the Lord, because Christ made us acceptable. And the Bible said Christ made us acceptable in the beloved. My Lord, we are acceptable to God. No matter what we do, we are his children. All we have to do is that God forgive us for sin knowingly and unknowingly. We are acceptable children to God. We are acceptable in the beloved. I mean, that should make anybody feel good. That as children of God, God accepts you. The Almighty One, the one who made the earth and the heavens, we are acceptable to God. And it says that when you commit sin, and we will, that all we have to do is ask God to forgive us of our sins, and he will, because we are made acceptable to him. The Romans destroyed the earthly temple, the one mentioned in John 2:20, AD 70, and today what stands in its place is the Muslim dome of the rock. However, we no longer look to a temple that can be destroyed. Rather, we are the temple that will last forever and that grows in strength with each person who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. First of all, they're telling you, all we have to do is believe. You know, for some people, that's hard. That's hard for them to believe that Mary had a baby. It's hard for them to believe that there was no man to help her have a baby, that she had a baby by the Holy Spirit. It's hard for people to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. It's just, I don't know why, but some people won't believe. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to believe. And when they don't believe, then they're completely lost. Jesus Christ, they won't accept him as their Savior. What can we learn from this? What should we take away from the feast of first fruit? In all things, we must imitate Christ, the first of the harvest, and have the eternal perspective that he had. Jesus came to give us everlasting life and to change our focus from the temporal to the eternal. Jesus came to give us, I mean, that's something to wrap your mind about, to wrap your mind that we're going to live eternal, that we're going to live forever. I mean, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy. Oh, death, where is thou sting? He took the stain away from death. Death have no power over us. We're going to live forever. If we're not caught up to meet him in the air, then we will die. But there's no fear in death. Oh, death, where is your stain? God's people will live with him, and we're going to live forever. We're going
Amen.
To live forever. Is there something you're struggling with today? Some temple that's being torn down in your life? Jesus is raising it up again, but not necessarily in the way that you think. Jesus has a better eternal vision for your life than you can imagine. So all we have to do is trust the Lord. It says trust him. Believe in him. Trust him, little children. We are the children of the Most High God, and you have to trust him. I mean, you trust your earthly mother, your earthly father, and all he's telling us is to believe, and trust me. Do what I say to do. Now, if you do what he says to do, you're not going to have any problems. There's no problems in doing what he says to do. If he tells you to go left, go left. Don't go right. We want to be rebellious and do what we want to do. It's not what the Bible says. It says to do what he says to do. Do what he said to do. And be assured that what he's building in you will last forever. There's that word again. It will last forever. Do
forever.
What the Lord wants to do, and you will live forever. I'm trying to wrap my mind around live forever, eternal, forever, ever, and ever. I'm reading Proverbs 16:4-5. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Isn't that amazing? The Lord has made all for himself. He talked about the wicked. He made the wicked. He made everything, including the devil. God has made all for himself, even the wicked, for the day of doom. God has made everything.
I like to say, Mother, God made the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I like that. God has made the good, the bad, and the ugly. Life lesson, Psalms 16:12. Through God, we will do valiantly. While on our own, we can do nothing. Wow. And, you know, I pray that prayer. God, you know, when I get up, I can't do anything on my own. But with you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know I need your strength for another 24 hours. You know, as we grow older, and even when we're younger, we really can't do anything on our own. It says, while on our own, we can do nothing. Through faith in God, we can do valiantly. So Paul said, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? When you have God, I can do all things, and you feel victoriously. You feel great. And a lot of times when you first wake up, well, you're struggling. You know, you've been fast asleep, and you got to wake yourself up. You take that shower, and then you take that cold shower, and sometimes that wake you up. But you can't do nothing. You cannot do anything without God, and it's just the truth of the matter. You can't do anything without God. Isn't that something? That's true, because the Bible says God has made the good for himself. God has made the wicked for himself. God is the maker of the heaven and the earth. He makes everything for himself. If we would just obey God, do what he say to do, our life would be so much easier. A lot of times we don't want to do what God tells us to do, but we do it. Lord, you know I heard that little small voice telling me not to go out today. And I went out anyway, had a car accident, if I had just listened. A lot of times we need to be still and just listen, not talk, not open our mouth, do what the Lord say do. And you would come out, you'd be so much better off if you did. I'm reading John 2:1-25. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Mother Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Mother said to the servant, "Whatever he says to you," there's that word, "whatever he says to you, do it." And that's our title, "Whatever he says to you, you do it." "Whatever he says to you, you do." Then there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Draw some out now. Take it to the master of the feast." They took it. When the master of the feast had tasted water that was made wine, did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. Disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews were at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, overturned the table, and he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house hath eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. I mean, he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Isn't that amazing? He knew what was in man because he had made man. He knew all men. He knew from the beginning to the end what they were going to say. And when he told Peter that day, "Hey, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter didn't even know his own self. Jesus knew all men, for he knew what was in man. And Peter said, "No, Lord, I'd rather die. Rather die than deny you." And Jesus told him, "Before the cock crowed 3 times, you would deny me 3 times. And he did. He denied the Lord 3 times. And he went out and he wept bitterly, because a lot of times we don't know. We don't know what's in ourselves, but God knows us. He knows us from out. When we come out of our mother's womb, he knows us, and he knows exactly what we're going to do, exactly what we're going to say. That's why he says, just repent. Repent, and don't keep looking back. Okay, Peter, you did this, but don't keep beating yourself up about it. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you love me?" He said it 3 times. because Peter denied him three times. God knows exactly what's in us when we don't even know ourselves. We think that all the time we know ourselves, but a lot of times we don't know. You don't know exactly what you're going to do. The Bible said turn the other cheek. And when somebody slaps your face, you don't really know even to this day. I'm almost 80 years old. I don't know to this day if I'm going to turn the other cheek. I hope and pray that I will turn the other cheek and bless that person who spit on me or slapped my face. But the Bible said we don't really know if we're going to have that type of strength. We don't know, but God knows. He knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, or he knew what was in man. That's amazing. Life lesson, John 2 and 5. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Do it.
Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus' mother did not understand everything her son said or did, but she understood enough to know that it was always wise to do what he said, and it still is. She was talking about the wine. She said, they done ran out of wine. That's what the mother of Jesus said to him. They have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And then the mother said to the servant, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. John 2:17. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. Disciples would not have been able to remember this text if they were not already familiar with it. For God to use his word to encourage and instruct us, we have to spend time in God's word. That's why they say each day before the day is over with, like we get up and we have Bible study, and you have to put that in your mind, what he said for today. You have to remember what the Lord is talking about in his word. So whatever he say to do, do it, and you'll have a successful day. Whatever Jesus tell you to do, just do it. That's amazing. And what amazes me, he's already told us that we're going to live. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around live forever. We're going to live always. Live forever. Death have no dominion. Death have no power. Jesus will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And our loved ones that have gone before us, we're going to know them. We're going to see them. We're going to be caught up. Dead in Christ will be caught up first. Those that remain will be caught up to meet him in midair. This is a beautiful, beautiful word. I don't know, it looks like every word that God speaks to us is beautiful. The things that they did back in days, we're still doing today because man haven't changed. We're still doing the same thing today. What they did back then, nothing is new under the sun. God is just a good God all the time.
Amen.
I'm going to turn that can over to the hands of my pastor, Bridget, and may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. It's still raining, folks.
Amen. Cleansing up. God is doing some cleaning, Mother.
Amen.
So let's get into a word, and we're going to go ahead and continue in our New Testament word, and then we'll come back, if time permits, to our psalm in Proverbs, because the psalm for this, this psalm could be its own testimony. So I'm going to come back to it at the end of the show, which is the 61st psalm. But right now I'm going to go into John chapter 3. And again, Nicodemus, you know, when folks think they got to hide coming to Jesus, we got to be bold in our walk. We got to just do it. And this is what is going on with Nicodemus. He's sneaking in to be with Jesus, to learn what he has to say. Because, you know, he was a ruler. He was one of the Pharisees. But he also understood that if he allowed them to know what he was doing, they would kick him out. He would lose his ministry. And it was important for him to do what he had to do. So let's go to chapter 3 of John. And it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. Everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. And when he says we, he's talking the Father. And he's talking himself, and he's talking the Holy Spirit, that these leaders did not see. He told them, we speak what we know and testify what we have, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. He's letting him know, I ascended from heaven. God sent me here as in the womb, put into Mary by the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin. She did not know a man, but he was placed there by the Holy Spirit of God into her womb to take root, to come out as an infant, to be born through her passage like babies. He came to this world for a purpose and a reason, and we better learn to just do what Jesus said. And it says, and that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal in life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And when we go back to the life lessons from this John chapter 3 word, it says Nicodemus, unclean but unblemished. It all started at night when Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, came to light. Hallelujah. And as I'm teaching our children and children's ministry, who is the light? Jesus is the light. And we got to let him shine. We got to let Jesus shine in everything we do. Nicodemus makes three appearances in the Bible. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. John chapter 7, verses 50 through 52. And John 19, verses 39 through 42. And by the third time, we see that the seed Jesus planted by night blossoms in the light of a gloomy day. Nicodemus assisted in retrieving Jesus' body from the cross and preparing it for burial. According to his old way of life, Nicodemus became unclean, but in his new eternal life, he was unblemished. Today, Nicodemus is still the teacher. We learn from him that Jesus is always there for us night or day. We learn that God's perfect timing, we will answer not our most confounding questions. He will answer our most confounding questions. We learn that regardless of our status, nothing is more important than the life of Christ within us. And we learn that no matter how great our sacrifice, it can never, and I say this, it can never, whoa, hallelujah, one more time, it can never provide for our Savior. And as we go into a couple of life lessons, in John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, and I love when we get to it, says that Moses, as this is verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was lifted up on that cross. He died for our sins. And then he was lifted up from the grave. And then he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God every day, interceding for me, interceding for you, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want that eternal life, but I don't want to burn. I don't like heat myself. I like it just the right temperature. My right temperature is about 71, 72. If it's over 71, 72, I don't like it. If it's under 71, 72, I don't like it. I'm either too cold or I'm too hot. Because I'll say, man, oh, I'm hot. It's 73. I'm hot. I thought I sound like my grandchildren because they don't like heat. And they'll say, oh, I'm so hot. And that's how I feel. 73, 74, I'm so hot. So I know hell does not have my name on it. I'm working real hard. And I know we don't get to heaven by our works, but I'm trusting Jesus that he knows my name and that my name is written in the book. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Woo, hallelujah. I want to be saved by the blood of Jesus. And amen. As Dr. Stanley says so eloquently, why Jesus says that all judgment has been committed to him, that he did not come to earth to judge us, but to save us. As James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. James chapter 2, verse 13. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Come on now. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. But those folks who want to be atheist and agnostic, because it's the jour, it is the day. You know, folks want to be in that in crowd. You know, and you're dealing with some serious stuff, not understanding. You don't play with God. You know, and it tells us those who place their faith in Jesus will never be condemned because Jesus has already taken their punishment upon himself. But those who reject Jesus as Savior must bear the full penalty of their sin. And we better understand that you can, and I'll say it, take that to the grave. Hallelujah. Because when you wake up and stand before God and God says, think you see that little narrow gate and you see those people going through, you're like, nerds, those are not the cool people. I'm going over here where the cool people are. Because you see them going and they all partying down. They got the music rocking. They got the band playing. And you're like, oh, yeah, I am so into that group right there. That big old wild gate. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm over there. Because, you know, you seeing some of your friends. You might even be seeing some pastors that you know going through that big gate because it's popping over there. You know what's popping is you in the pit of hell. And that fire is what's popping. And you can't get out. Because what did that Abraham say? There is a gap. We can't come to you and you can't come to us. And then you will wish you went through the narrow gate with all the uncool people. With Dr. Stanley. You know, oh, he old. You know, he always talking about salvation. I don't want to hear all that stuff. It don't take all of that. So, no, I'm going over here where the cool pastors are, where they got the band popping in the church, and, you know, they ain't singing all them old hymns and stuff. What you going to find out is that sometimes you got to go back to the old landmark. You got to go back to where you first believed. As I believe it's Andre Couch sings, crouched on and wrote, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. We got to go back, and we got to just what he says do. In John 3:19-36, it says, and this is the condemnation that the light, and Jesus is that light, has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Because the deeds were evil. But everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Whoa. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing in Anon, near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, but John had not yet been thrown into prison. And we know what happened to John. He was telling the truth, and Herodias could not stand him, because he told them up front, you're sinful. And if we want to go today's work, you're nasty. Nasty. You know you're not supposed to be messing around with your brother's wife, and your brother's still living, and you shacking up with his wife, and then getting all hot and bothered by his daughter. Come on now. It's nasty. You know, and so Herod didn't like what John was saying, because John was another one that just kept it real. He kept it real, and he did not play. He told folks about themselves. Don't come up here asking to be baptized if you haven't repented. Don't come up here being asked to be baptized if you ain't ready to move higher. Come on now. And he was telling them about that man that we know, that man that we love, that man that's in our heart, and his name is Jesus. John told them about him. And so John was baptizing. And then it says this, that there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride, not the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him rejoicing, greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. John was like, it don't matter, prophet. And I'm sure he knew that Herod one day was going to take his head. I'm sure he knew that his time was limited, but he had fulfilled his purpose. His purpose was to baptize Jesus. His purpose was to say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That was his purpose. That was why he was conceived in his mother's Elizabeth's womb. That's why he even jumped and leaped for joy in the presence of Jesus in the womb. He knew his cousin. Hallelujah. He knew his purpose. And he told him this. He said, whoo, hallelujah, I'm all filled up, mother. I get excited with the word of God. He said, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. But he and God is sent to speak the words of God. But God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. And when we go back to the life lesson for John 3:36, it says, he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. And we're talking eternal life. But the wrath of God abides on him, and that is hell. And I'm not trying to go there, mother. And it said, God loves the world in the sense that he provided a sufficient sacrifice to atone for its sin in the person of his Son. But those who turn from God's love choose his wrath instead. I'd rather have the love of God than to have his wrath, because God's wrath is no joke. And I say that with a full heart. God's wrath is no joke. And as we go back into our psalm this morning, this psalm just does something to my heart, the 61st psalm. And it says to the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. It's so beautiful. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you, O God, have heard my vow. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vow. Ooh. Hallelujah. And when we go to the 62nd song, and it says, truly my soul waits for God. From him comes my salvation. And that was David didn't understand. He was waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. But truly my soul silently awaits for God. From him comes my salvation. Hallelujah. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. As we all say, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. But we cannot allow the enemy to push us or knock us or try his best to get us out of our light. And our light is Jesus. Hallelujah. I like to call it our square. We cannot allow the enemy to come in with his darkness and his self, his slimy, sneaky self. And if we go to verse 3, it says, how long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. The only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. We are talking how crazy things are going. And we understand that Jesus had to go through some stuff. You know, and I just realized, you know, and I'm going to go back to our Proverbs this morning. And just a small life lesson from Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. No matter where in the world we travel, no matter what challenges face us, the rock of God goes before us, inviting us to hand our troubles, emotions to him. If we will just look up, he will be there. Ooh. Can you say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus,
for being there. Thank you, Jesus, for always having my back. It says when we go into our Proverbs this morning, and it says this, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Can you say, do what he says, do? Do what he says, do. Depart from evil. We got to learn how to get back to the rock that is higher than I. And in Proverbs 16:7-9, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Come on. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Praise the Lord, everybody, this morning. And as we continue in our Proverbs, divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne to establish by righteousness. For a throne is established by righteousness. And folks want to always say, this is not true. Because if you can't win, you don't want anybody to have anything. We got to learn to be as gracious losers as we are winners. Because understand, that was folks Jesus tried to save. But they were not ready. And they perished in sin. We don't want to do that. We want to walk in righteousness. And as we go back over to the book of John, chapter 4, it says this, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being worried from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And on our senior Sunday, Prophetess Connie preached this message, true message of salvation. And it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. But his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? But Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, but you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband. And that you spoke to it. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshiper, whoo, hallelujah, will worship and worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And a life lesson for this morning. But this word is this, John 4:10, he would have given you living water. Even when God asks us to do certain things, it really is an invitation to receive greater things from him. Jesus asked the woman for a drink of water so he could offer her a drink of living water. And amen. Even though that was him ministering and opening the door to salvation to Gentiles, because she was what one would call, she was one that one would call mixed, because she was one of the folks that came after mixing in with the Jews and then other cultures, and they became Samaritans. And it says, John 4:23, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. God actively seeks men and women who will eagerly worship him according to the truth of the scripture and by the power of the Holy Spirit. In one sense, evangelism is nothing but seeking our authentic worshipers. And before we get out of here, Mother, a couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Because it has been a great word today. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. And the word for yesterday was this. And again, it fit with our word for yesterday. And it says, God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Hallelujah. Saul was trying his best to kill David, and God made it for David's good. Again.
Amen.
And then it says to today, so let stress get the best of you. Mary was stressing about that wine, and then she realized who her son was and said, just do what he says do. God is the ultimate problem solver. And the day's word for today from Sister Carolyn is this, follow God. Follow God and have a follow God Friday as we just do what he says do. I love you all. Thank you so much. If you have time in the morning, come join me at 7 a.m. as we move forward in the Word of God, in our Old Testament Word. I will not be doing a word on Sunday. I will be spending time with my mother. And for all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. I pray that your day is as blessed as it could ever be, because you are a blessing. Have a great day, family. God bless you. God keep you. God let his light shine upon you and give you peace. I got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Mother,
it's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Mother, just a minute before we close out, there is a caller that wanted to speak. Let me open
okay.
it up. Caller,
yes,
your line is open.
Good morning. I just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. God bless, and it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Happy Mother's
Thank
Day.
Thank you,
everyone.
Minister Mother Valerie and Pastor Bridget.
Thank you
for listening
and happy
to me and my
Mother's
sister.
Day
God bless you. And my happy Mother's Day and Grandmother's Day and Great Grandmother's Day to you. My sister has a lot of grandkids and children. Thank you,
Amen.
God, for the blessings. But as they say, he will increase, and he has increased. So thank you, God, for this wonderful woman, these wonderful women of God. We love you all. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.